All right, well, good morning again, everybody. If you want to go ahead and make your way back to your seats? Check, 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 check. Check, 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 check. All right, if you could go ahead and get back to your seats, we'll go ahead and get started on our second half. Yeah. Time for the third quarter. So summer must be over because we're back to two services. Yeah, no. Guess that's what that means. Well. All right. Well, how are y'all doing today? Okay, that was like probably a third. So the rest of two-thirds of you not doing good? The Moes are homeless, so, you know. All right. Well, good to see you all here this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you for this beautiful morning. And as we see the change in seasons with the cooler temperatures and more moisture, and Father, I just think of the people back east that are getting a whole lot of moisture, and just pray for them, pray for the emergency workers and those people that are just the devastation with ruined homes. And Father, just pray that you would have your hand in there, help them to see your presence. I pray for the churches back there, Father, that they would be the ones that are really stepping out and helping people and making a difference. And Father, I thank you for all these people here this morning, and I pray that they would hear you, that your Holy Spirit would move in their midst, that you would touch their hearts, their minds, bring them to action as they hear your word, and help me to speak accurately and completely your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we were continuing our series in Romans chapter 12. Does anybody know who Charles Lawrence is or was? Charles Lawrence. How about Charles Lindbergh? Oh, yeah. Charles Lawrence was the man that developed the engine for the Spirit of St. Louis, without which Charles Lindbergh would have had a hard time flying across the ocean. In the body of Christ, there's a lot of people that work behind the scenes that we never really know what they're doing, that we just come and things are done. The church that we went to in town, I was the I was the caretaker, janitor, you know, kind of did all that kind of stuff. And I always joked with people that, so do you think little elves come in the night and set your stuff up? It took them a while to get it. But it was hard. As things transitioned, the hard part became, no, you're responsible to come and set your stuff up. You're responsible to come and tear your stuff down and clean the church kitchen. Yeah. Actually, in town it got so bad we put a lock on the kitchen door because people would come and they would use it and leave it a mess. So anyway, those good Christian people. because they thought the elves would come behind them and take care of it, you know. So, but the body of Christ needs to be together, and to function properly, everybody has their place. We all have our parts to work. Working in humility, sometimes very much working behind the scenes. Maybe for years and years and years, no one ever knowing really what you're doing, but you're working for the Lord. We started off in verse 1 talking about this idea of sacrificing ourselves, sacrificial service, which brings about the proper functioning of the body of Christ, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and that we need to have humility. We need to have proper thinking. All the members need to work together. One body in Christ, operating in humility, the different functions, we need each other. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. This morning we're going to be looking specifically at verses 4 through 5. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Back up to verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me," Paul speaking here, "I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." When you're reading God's word, you've got to remember to read it in context, to not just pull a verse out, but to look at the whole context. Now, we started off this series with looking at who God was back in chapter 11. Because that leads into what we're looking at today. Who God is, what he's done, how he's operated in history, how he currently operates in our lives. And because of who God is, we can then be sacrifices, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. The church is the body of Christ. Now, there are many local churches. There's also the church universal. It's the body of Christ. It's an organism. It's not an organization. When you talk church, you shouldn't think of this place. When you talk church, you should think of all of you, because you are the body of Christ. You make up the body of Christ. Its composition is believers. Believers in Jesus Christ make up the body of Christ. Only believers in Jesus Christ. We are connected to Jesus, Jesus being the head. For any of you that are Star Trek geeks, you've heard of the Borg. And one of the terms they use in the Borg is the collective. Because they're literally all connected. When something happens to one of them, the rest of them know it. And they're all connected together. And they have this central being that runs everything. That's how we need to see each other. The Jesus Christ, the central being that runs everything, and we're all connected. And when something happens to one part of the body, we should all feel it. We should all be aware of it. We should all be willing to help with it. The body is also very diverse. It's made up of all kinds of different people. I mean, just look around the room. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different ideas. We have different experiences in life. But we come together as one to be the body of Christ. And it's just like a body, it's living. That's why it's an organism. It's living. It's not stagnant. It's not like an organization, but it's this living being. But it also is highly organized. Just like the Borg is very highly organized. They all have their little parts and they all do their things. The body of Christ is highly organized. God has gifted each one of us to be in a certain place, to do a certain thing. Number two, it is unified. One family of born-again believers, having salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is from the New Living. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. That's how you were born again. Declaring that Jesus is Lord, believing that he is who he said he was, being born again. Jewish people are born into the faith, their faith, the Jewish. They're born into it. We as believers are born into it when we're born again. Just because we're in a Christian family, just because we're in a, used to be, a Christian nation, doesn't mean we're born into it. We literally have to be born again. Just like the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus when he says, you have to be born again, and Nicodemus's head is going like, what? How can I enter again into my mother's womb? And Jesus goes on to explain to him about being born again, just as Romans here says. This is how you're born again. When we're born again into salvation, we become members of the church. We become members of the church worldwide. But then we also need to become members of a church locally. Where are we going to use our gifts? Where are we going to join in and operate? The local church, the local body of Christ. And we are to preserve what the Spirit has started. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, therefore, this is Paul speaking, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this unity that the Spirit has put together, we're to work at preserving that which He has already started. But it also says later on in Ephesians that we're to work at the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, 12 through 13, the verse right before that, it talks about people who are in the church that have been equipped to help teach. And then it goes on to say in verse 12 that they're to equip the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We're to work at it. We're to attain that unity in the faith. We're to listen to the teaching, and we're to become part of the body of Christ and be what we've called to be, what we've called to be. What God has called us to do, we're to be part of that in the body. Number three, we're in relationship. We're in relationship. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. It's hard to bear someone's burden if you don't have relationship with them because you don't know what their burdens are. Being part of the body of Christ at times can be really messy because we as human beings are pretty messy and our lives can be pretty messy. But what God wants us to do is to come alongside one another and to love one another and to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another. These are other believers. When you come to church, it's not for the show. It's not like coming and sitting in a classroom. It's coming and participating with one another, developing relationship with one another. You know, don't just come in, sit, and go out. Get to know people. Can't bear their burdens unless you know them. But sometimes that's the reason we don't get to know people. Oh, man, some of these people, they have really weird lives. I don't know. We need to get to know one another so we can help one another and encourage one another and be there to bear one another's burdens. It's a living body. We need to interact. We need to support and challenge one another. We need to make those connections. A disconnected body doesn't operate properly or effectively. Can you still do things with only one arm? Yeah, you can. Not as effectively or efficiently. You know, the fingers that are connected to the hand, that are connected to the arm, that are connected to the body, that are connected to the head, it all works together. Can't have fingers without a hand. And if you do, it's not going to work right. One of the other ways to develop this relationship is in smaller groups. You know, it's pretty hard in this setting, in this size of group, really to get to know people really well to the point of being able to bear their burdens. But getting into smaller groups and really getting to know people. Acts 2 talks about the early church. In verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They came in the larger group and they listened to the apostles' teaching. A lot of times they were meeting in the temple, in the synagogue that was the local synagogue. And then in verse 46 it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. The bigger group became the smaller group as they got to know one another even more, and they developed relationship with one another. And in developing relationship with one another, we need to have humility. There is no place for pride when we're trying to develop relationship with other people. Our culture in America is very individualistic. The individual, standing on their own two feet, making their own way. And we kind of hold that up on a pedestal, but that is not the way it should be. It should be all of us working together to further the gospel for us as believers. We need to be very careful not to isolate. It's so easy to think, well, I got to do it on my own. If I can't do it on my own, then I'm not the person I should be. That's a lie. We need to have help along the way many times. It's not a weakness. It's not a weakness to ask for help. It's pride to not ask for help. We're to love one another. John 13:34. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. How did Jesus love them? To the point of death. He gave himself. That you also love one another. And here's the reason that he wants us to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It's an example. It's a witness. You know, and so many times, and again, you know, we're human beings. We still have this sin nature. And so many times, church has let the non-believers down. They look in the church and they go, man, those people don't even get along with one another. Why would I want to be part of that? This church doesn't get along with that church. And, you know, it's a mess. We should be showing them how we love one another. Apart from the Gospels in the New Testament, the term one another is used 58 times. Think maybe God's trying to get the point across? Love one another, help one another, work for one another. Stephen Cole said this, getting hurt in the church is almost inevitable because of our differences and because we are still prone to sin. When you get men and women, and of course there's a potential for serious misunderstanding right there, but when you get men and women of different ages, different culture, racial backgrounds, sometimes even linguistic backgrounds, together and throw in the world, the flesh and the devil, you've got the potential for conflict and division. But the benefits of loving relationships outweigh the risks of getting hurt. Not to mention, Jesus said, love one another and show the world that you are my disciples because you love one another. Number four, the body of Christ is spiritual. It's spiritual. Some of you may have experienced this where you're just kind of, you know, out in the world doing your thing and you come across somebody and you start a conversation and you find out they're a believer. Is there not an immediate connection? I mean, it's something that you can't really even explain. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You know, it's no wonder that the world looks at the church and goes, man, you're a bunch of wackos. Why would you do the stuff you're doing? Why would you sacrifice? Why would you give? Why would you do this? The Bible is full of a bunch of weird stories. Because they're not appraising it spiritually. They're appraising it by world standards. We need to be one in Christ. One in Christ, the body of Christ, knit together, loving one another. Because we are not organizational. We need to have this relationship to Jesus and to other people. You can do that. I think it's the next slide. You've seen this bumper sticker, right? Just cracks me up when I see this. Because the Muslims and the Jews are going to get along, right? Ever? Now, there will come a time when there will be peace. And you need to know, when you see that time, the end is really near. Because it will happen. Need to read the end of the book, end of the story. There will be a time of peace, but it won't last. But yeah, I see this, you know, I see it on people's cars, and I just think, really? They don't have a real concept of even what all these things mean, what people believe. They just, you know, it's like, oh, we should all just get together. Yeah, how's that work? I mean, look around the world. People don't get along. And so many times, the reason people don't get along is religious ideology. I mean, that's just, really, most of the issues in the world, it's religious ideology. we as the church need to not allow that to happen in the church. I mean, that's really, it's why we have so many denominations, is because Christians can't get along. We need to make sure that we stand on the Word of God, that that's our standard, that's our basis for how we live. Not our own theories, not our own ideas, but God's Word. We need to be interdependent, number five. We need to be interdependent. We need one another. If we want to build the church, if we want to build God's kingdom, we've got to work together. We've got to work together. There is no place for pride in there. That we need to humble ourselves and dig in and say, what can I do? How can I help? You need me to clean the toilets? Fine, I can do that. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21. I'm not going to read it all, but it's the place where Paul talks about this idea of the physical body and the parts and how all they fit together. You know, the ears, the eyes, the hands, the feet. It takes all the pieces of the body for it to work and function effectively. The functionality. All of us working together to further the kingdom of God, to further the gospel. And the only way that that can be done effectively is if we all work together. If we all do our part. I read this story. It's a great story. So I'm going to read it to you. During vacation Bible school, a woman teaching a primary class was interrupted about an hour before dismissal when a new boy was brought in. He only had one arm. She was nervous and afraid that one of the other kids would comment on it and embarrass him, but she had no opportunity to coach them on how to respond. As the class came to a close, without incident, she began to relax. She asked the class to join her in their usual ceremony. Let's make our churches. Here's the church. Oh, the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. Then the awful truth hit her. But as she paused, speechless, the little girl sitting next to the boy reached over with her left hand and placed it with his right hand and said, Davy, let's make the church together. That's what we're supposed to do. We are only the church together. So what's your function in the body? What's your function in the body of Christ? How will you be part of making the church, this body of Christ? As we continue on in Romans 12, we're going to be looking at some spiritual gifts and some of those types of things. And God has gifted every one of us for something specific. In the church, in the world, He has called us to be part of Christ's body. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the way that you have designed the church, because it's your perfect plan. And we've done a pretty good job of messing it up as human beings. And yet, that's the plan. That we, those who are born again, those who have been born into your family, are the ones that are to further the gospel. They're the ones to build the church, the ones to build and be part of the body of Christ. At salvation, we have received the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that lives within us. And because of that, we have the capability. If we'll push aside our pride, if we'll push aside our selfishness, if we won't listen to society, do not be conformed by the things around us, but to be transformed by the Spirit of God. To be willing to get in there and work hard, to dig in, to do some of the hard things, some of the nasty things like clean the toilet. Whatever it might be, we have our place. You've called us to plug into those places, to have relationship with one another, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, to be the body of Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Just want to, again, bring your attention to the connection cards. And, you know, if you've got prayer requests or praises, you can put those on there. If you've got some new information that you need to get across to us, please get that on there. It's a good way to communicate. And also, just check out your bulletin. There's various things going on in there, stuff this month, stuff that pertains to you. The stuff that doesn't pertain to you, I'm not going to hold you responsible for that. You can ignore those things. But if it pertains to you, you might want to check it out, check into it. So God bless you all. Have a great... Oh, yes.
So I just wanted to mention, you might have noticed in the last little emails that went out from Diane, we're starting to come to Europe for Operation Justice Trials. And it's something that our church has been interested in for quite a number of years. So
offering.
So just a variety of different ways. I know we have tons of things that we're doing and we're contributing to, but if this one calls to you, it can help us out. So questions to me, questions to Phyllis. Larry is also a really great resource for this project.
And the stuff has to be in by November, right?
Yeah,
so this is not, I mean, this seems early, but it isn't. Right.
This church body needs greeters.
All right. There's a place to plug in. Sharon.
Yeah, I just am here to testify that this church does bear one another's burdens. You can't believe how humble I feel with all the prayers everyone's had for me. Everyone's been praying for Ruth and her knee. Think about Therese, Van and her hand, George and his heart. And just so many people. And I love you all. It's just been so good to be back.
I just need to add that Ruth and I are starting a grief share group for anyone who's had a loss recently or even way in the past, and it'll be about 3 months long. We'll be meeting Sunday afternoons here at the church, and it's going to start on October 7th. So you can see me or Ruth or sign up and be a part of that.
All right.
We'd just like to welcome you to come and join and don't be alone.
Yep. It's relaxing. It's no pressure.
Yeah. It's a very, very nice.
All right. And Pastor Bob's going to be speaking next week, so you get somebody different again. So, all right. God bless you all. Have a great week.